Well, the wait is over, but we're not going to start right away with the birth. You have to wait until toward the end of the message. Okay? So let's read from Genesis 21, 1 to 8. Okay, the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Let's pray. Father, we've been going through a few weeks of lead up, of walking through the journey with Abraham to see what was going to happen to the promise that you gave Abraham all those thousands of years ago, that you would make him a great nation. Lord, we have been on the edge of our seats, maybe, to see what was going to happen. And now we come to this moment. But we also realize there's so much more involved than just waiting on the promise. Father, help us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us and illuminate our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what I need to do is I want to take us from where we last met, which was last week. Okay, we had remember the Lord and the guests, the three guests came and visited Abraham at the tent, and they made them a feast, and then the Lord said toward Abraham, but Sarah was listening, that she was going to have a son. And she laughed. And then the Lord said, is there anything too hard for me? You know, these are so wonderful. You know, when you read this and you know what Jesus said and God said in the Gospels, is anything too hard for the Lord? You see that God was, he's the same in eternity, yesterday, today, and forever. The more you read scripture, the more you see all the threads linking together. And it's exciting because this is the story of the universe. It's the story of the heavenlies. It's a story of eternity. And we are part of that. So the lead up to the promise being consummated. After the promise that included Sarah, the men shared with Abraham. I'm doing the couple of chapters in between in a bird's eye view. The men shared with Abraham that Sodom and Gomorrah was going crazy and God was going to bring judgment. Why would he share with Abraham? Well, because Lot was living there. Then Abraham prayed and he spoke to God and interceded for the people. Some of you have read about this, similar to Moses. Abraham said, look, if there were 50 righteous, would you save it? God said, yeah. 40 righteous, yeah. 30 righteous, 20, and then he said 10. And the Lord said, yeah, if there's 10, I'll relent. In this little situation, we learn that Abraham was a friend to God, but we're going to learn about that later, not today. So the angels went to spy out the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and found that things were terrible. They'd gone crazy. The immorality was rife. It was just a terrible place. Then God said he was about to sweep away the city. Now, he just said that if 10 were righteous, he wouldn't. But what we find out is the righteous ones are only 4. Lot and his wife and 2 daughters. And we don't really know how righteous they were. But because of Abraham, God was going to save them. So he said, I'm about to sweep it away. Now, as an aside to that, in the scripture, and we won't go there, but it's just an aside, that when Lot was rescued and his two daughters, you might have read the story that there was incest and two sons were born, Moab and Ammon. And the Moabites and the Ammonites were enemies of the people of God down through the ages. See, when people take things into their own hands, there's a consequence that sometimes is a bit disastrous. So we can see that Abraham's journey here is anything but peaceful and wonderful. Sometimes we receive a promise from God, or we receive something warm in our heart. We feel close to God. And we want to stay there forever. We just want to feel good, you know? Don't we want to feel good? I mean, the media tells us that we should feel good all the time. And whatever it takes to feel good, then you should do it. Whether it's to ingest something or buy something. So, Abraham, we see his faith journey, living by faith in the Son of God, living by faith in God, did not bring Abraham peace and calm all the time. So it's a strange thing. We see that Abraham began to wander around looking for fields. Remember, they were an agrarian society and herds and cattle and all that. So they tended to wander a little bit finding new grass and new places to have their herds and things like that. And so he wandered into the territory of Gerar, which is an area of the Philistines. And guess what? He did the same sin as he did years before, maybe 20 years before. Before it was with Pharaoh, now it's with Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. He passed off Sarah as his sister. You know, women, I don't know what Sarah was doing. You know, like, but that's why later on in scripture we see that it says Sarah was very obedient to her husband. And we should all be like Sarah. But here he said, I want you to be my sister. And even in the thing he says, so it will go well with me. You know, I'm going to put you in the lion's den so it'll be well with me. So Sarah goes into the household of Abimelech. But God's on the case. He sends his angels. You know, I can imagine the conversation in heaven. You know, the angels saying to God, he's at it again, God. That Abraham guy, you know, the one you chose, he's at it again. And so God says, let's go. So what happened was God intervened, and he came to Abimelech in a dream and said that this woman, Sarah, is another man's wife. God uses a pagan person to save his people, to save his wonderful woman, Sarah, and this kind of ratbag husband of hers, Abraham, who's willing to sell her off. And not only does he do that, he closes the womb of all the household of Abimelech, so no children can be born. Now, if that had happened, you know that they were there for a little while. It wasn't 2 days. It was a few months, maybe. It was a bit longer. And so then Abimelech comes and says, what are you doing, Abraham? What have you done? You notice it's interesting here again. It's a king of a foreign country, a not a lover of God, who comes and confronts a man of God. Have you ever been confronted by a non-Christian to say, what are you doing? And do we say, he's a non-Christian. No, maybe you should stop. Abraham stopped. He said, but I didn't think there was any fear. I didn't think that, you know, in other words, Abraham said, I didn't even trust God in the midst of this place. If they weren't Christians, if they weren't going to help me, then I was sunk. He wasn't trusting God to help him. See? Now here we are, almost 25 years since God called Abraham by faith. And look at the times that he was trusting in God, that God brought him together and spoke to him and said, look at the stars of the sky. That's how many people are going to be from you, from your household. That includes us. Those stars are us and all the centuries in between. Look at the grains of sand. That's how many people. That's us. See? God said, look at that. I mean, gosh, if God confronted you, brought you out and showed you this, wouldn't that change your life? Well, you know, don't bet on it. Because we're just like Abraham. Abraham faltered. He wavered, just like you and I do. Just like you and I do. He said, in essence, he was saying, I don't give my full trust to God. I'm still relying on other people to do something. How many times do we do that? How many times do we do that? And then it was through Abraham's prayers that God healed Abimelech. So Abraham knelt down and prayed for Abimelech and his household, and the female servants, his wife and female servants, then could bear children. So we're almost there. We're getting close. We're getting closer. Okay? So this is just a year out. We'll go through a year today. This is a little like our journey. There are times when we so trust God and we can listen and obey and trust in peace and patience. And then there are times when we don't. We kick, we scream, we have tantrums. We want to take things into our own hands and fix it up, see? It was then that we can make mistakes. We can sin. We can show that we really don't trust God to do it. The time is running out. Maybe it's the day the mortgage is due and you might lose the house and you don't know what you're going to do. It's the day of the exam and you're feeling sick. All these things that you're worried about. And you don't give it into the hands of God. So many things can go wrong. But over and over throughout this story and throughout our journey this year in faith, about faith, is that we see a human being frail, able to make mistakes, just like us. But we see that God promises and he fulfills his promise. And he helps us. In fact, he overtakes sometimes our promise, our mistakes. But we also have seen the last couple of weeks that there are consequences. And so sometimes the mistakes we make, we have to live with for the rest of our lives. But we live with them with God rather than without God. We learn from God and from this story that God was constantly teaching Abraham. He was, the periods of time that we are waiting for something are the most important times that God can teach us. So can I say this? That instead of throwing tantrums like a little kid when things don't go your way, allow God to teach you whatever he wants to teach you in this time of waiting. We, as human beings, you know, we always want to get to the next thing. You know, I look back, I don't know about, you know, Wing was talking about this. So, you know, the last week before Lydia was born, I was jumping up and down and saying, come on, get out of here. You know, like, I'm tired of being this fat person, you know. Or when she's, you know, just a baby and crying and I'm up all night and my eyes are hanging down to my knees and stuff like that, I'm saying, I wish she was four. And then when she's four, and saying, why, Mom? Why, Mom? Why, Mom? I wish she was in school. So she'd ask the teacher. And then when she's in primary school, I'm saying, why does she have to have all these friends over? You know, I'm constantly doing this and doing that. And as she grows up, I think I'm a bus driver, you know, going here, going there. I can hardly wait till she gets her license. Then she gets her license and I'm worrying every moment of the day, you know, when she gets behind the wheel. Or I lay awake at night. Thank goodness that was a time when mobile phones came in. And then I could have my phone next to my bed and tell her, you know, if you get in trouble, ring me and stuff like that, you know. And I'm a light sleeper, and anything, even if the phone went, you know, I'd be awake. And then you think, oh, I can hardly wait. She move out, and then I can just have some peace and quiet, and she can come to visit. And then I think, oh, no, she's come to visit and left the house a mess. Now I have to clean it up. See, we never get to the place where everything is wonderful. Never. We're always having to trust God. Till the day we go to meet him. And the tests get deeper. The tests get wider. We don't even know. You can't even guess what the tests will be in your life as you go on. And there's a big test to come for Abraham, which we won't get to until next week. So Abraham struggled, and we struggle with this question. Can God keep his promises without any help from me? That's a big question, isn't it? Can God lead me, guide me, take me where he wants to go without any help from me? Shouldn't Abraham have remembered this lesson from the time with Hagar and Ishmael being born? See, our problem isn't so much with the sovereignty of God and care of our lives. It comes down to the practical, everyday application of trusting in him with every moment of our lives. We say, oh yeah, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Oh yeah, I believe he's in control of everything. And then our everyday walk is, no, he isn't. I got to do this. See? So we still try to manipulate how we need to go. And this is something that God teaches us over and over again. And we learn this lesson from here. What about the times when obedience just seems too hard? And faithfulness to God seems to cost too much? So we circumvent it. You know, it's Satan's strategy to woo us away from obedience to God. This is what he did with Eve in the garden. And this is what he's done with Abraham's life. And this is what he tried to do even with Jesus. Come on. You don't need to go to the cross. You can be king another way. And we say the same thing. I don't want it to be too hard, Lord. I don't want to have to sacrifice too much. And if I obey over here, it's too hurtful. It causes too much problem. See, this is what Abraham was struggling with, and this is what you and I struggled with. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" I would take that, write it up, and put it on my mirror so I see it every day. I've got some scriptures on my fridge that I've had there for a few years because they were spoken to me by God. In other words, not that he stood in my lounge room or in my kitchen and said, write this down and put it on your fridge. But through that scripture, in reading it, it warmed my heart. It spoke to me. It jolted me. It convicted me. And I said to myself, I need to remember this. And I put it up there and put it on the fridge. And so once in a while I go by and I'm reading the fridge. Whoa. Okay, have I changed, Lord? Have I listened? Have I grown from that? That's a good way to see if we are growing spiritually. If we are really learning and changing. So what happened now? Well, we see God rescue. It's almost like the rescue from Egypt through the Red Sea. God intervened in the life of a pagan in order to rescue his person. So here we have Abraham, Sarah, and Abimelech. Abraham's failures were used by God. Our failures are used by God. And here, even though Abraham and Sarah must have prayed for years and years for a child, Abraham prays one prayer and the wombs of all the household of Abimelech are opened to have those precious children. And then the Lord did what was promised. 25 years after the promise was given, Isaac was born. What were the reactions? And you notice, there's only a paragraph, verses 1 to 8 of Isaac's birth. 25 years that we've gone through in those scriptures from Genesis 12 now to 21. Or 20, what was it? 21, yeah. And one little paragraph. See, so much of the time, the journey toward the answer and the fulfillment is the main thing God's looking at. How are you reacting during the wait? How are you responding to God when nothing seems to be happening? That is the key. Can I tell you? That's the key. See, God wants people who are of his character, of his trust, of his faithfulness. And so all these things are there to help us and to learn and to grow into the character of God. Okay, so what were the reactions to Isaac's birth? Well, Sarah and Abraham are joyful. The boy's name was Isaac, which means laughter. Sarah couldn't believe it. Here's a baby to hold and cherish. Never in her wildest dreams did she think this would happen. Can we wait on God's work in our lives so that we too can say this is far more than I ever thought? Because if we do it ourselves, it's just going to be ho-hum. And we will always think maybe it could be undone because we did it ourselves. But if God does it, woohoo! That's something. At the appointed time, it says. At the appointed time. Abraham immediately obeyed and had his son circumcised on the eighth day. Other nations practiced circumcision, but they circumcised when the boy turned into adulthood around 13 years old. But God said, I want the first fruits right away, the child to be circumcised. What about the other people in the household? He had an extended household, lots of servants and other people. They would have been astounded. The laughter and the joy was all through the house and in his extended tribe. And then three or four years went by. That was the weaning time of the baby from the mother. And Abraham planned a great feast for Isaac. And perhaps Abraham then shared with everybody the promise that God had given and how it had come out as a great testimony to the Lord, a testimony to God. He could take no responsibility. Sarah could take no responsibility. It wasn't something I did. It wasn't something I managed. It wasn't something I conjured up. It wasn't any of this. It was God. And when you can say that about something in your life, it's precious. It's precious. And you care for it. You honor it because God did it. But there were other reactions. Did having this baby solve all their problems? You know, we really want that thing to happen. We want that job to happen, don't we? We want that child to happen. We want that our children to know the Lord. We want them to get good education. We want all these things, don't we? And we pray, and we're on our knees, and then something good happens. And we think, we're home free. This is wonderful. And you get that job, and the first day you go to the job, you realize your supervisor doesn't really like you. Because you dyed your hair or something, I don't know. And all of a sudden, that job you prayed for on your knees, you had your small group pray for, and all that kind of stuff seems, ooh, I don't know. What about this? What about what happened? Because Ishmael started to laugh. Here was the feast. Here was the icing on the cake. And over in the corner, Ishmael was laughing. Perhaps he was jealous, like an older brother. Perhaps he was saying, wait a minute, he's just said this was a promised son. And remember, Abraham didn't just neglect him for the 13 years. He was a teenager. This is a bad time to have another kid, you know. The teenager. <ugh. laughs> And then Sarah reacted to that. And went back to her old emotions and responses and ways to get even. So the birth of that child did not automatically change them into some wonderful couple. And every hunky-dory. And what about Abraham? He was probably thinking it over. And he said, wait a minute, I've taken Ishmael hunting, I've grown him up, I've been there, I've been a dad to him, I am his dad. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I mean, look at this. What about in your life? Here's the promise. Here's a child we've been waiting for. Here's the answer to God's moments with me. And it's supposed to bring joy. We've been laughing for 4 years. This is a feast. But it's being ruined. And what am I going to do? And you know what he does? Like some husbands, I won't say all. He turns it over to his wife. He says, you deal with it. And she threw them out. But God took care, in the scripture you can read it, God took care. Hagar and Ishmael went out in the bush, out in the desert. Water had run out. So Hagar went over to under a shade tree, had Ishmael over here, and he was getting weaker, and she was just going to sit there and wait for him to die. And God swooped in as an angel and gave them water and all that and said, look, I have a place for you to go. And Ishmael grew, took a wife from Egypt, and of course became the father of Islam. And that's why Muslims look back to Abraham as the beginning. So this was an issue. The nation, because God gives the same promise almost to Ishmael and Hagar. He says, your son will become father of many nations, and which he has, through all the Arab nations. What can we learn? What can we learn from this? You know, Paul says to Timothy, read all the scripture. And of course, they only had the Old Testament then. Read all the scripture. Because this instructs you. It's to be our instruction. God gave us this word and these people and how he dealt with people and what people, how we responded, so we could learn. We might see ourselves in these people. We might see a portion of ourself. we might learn from this. And this is why God said, don't just read it as a story, ponder it. Ponder it. And begin to see in our own lives, yes, I can identify with that. So God, I want to come and talk to you about it. So what do we learn? Again, it's about patience, waiting, and trusting. It's about living a life of faith in our God. Also, that the consequences will still be with us if we do things on our own and in our own strength. Being in the middle of God's will doesn't mean it's all peaceful with no issues or struggles. In fact, lots of times being in God's will brings on more struggles because we are opposed to the world system. We are living in a way that's different. And sometimes there are more struggles to be had. You know, I really don't appreciate sometimes when evangelists say, yes, come to the Lord and he'll answer all your problems and it'll all be wonderful, because it's not. Jesus said it wasn't. Most of the scriptures say it isn't. When you come to the Lord, you're going to have a lot of struggles. If you desire to live in following his footsteps. Now, we know from the scripture that we can compromise and we can be a foot in this camp and a foot in that camp. We can want the best of this world and the best of that world. And it doesn't work. God says you either serve me or you serve mammon. That's the deal. And so God's continuing to teach us that. And we reap what we sow. So if we make mistakes and it becomes a problem, we have to reap those consequences and deal with them. But in the midst of all this, Abraham was now consulting the Lord. And God forgives the past. When we make mistakes, he forgives us. I don't know about all of you parents out here, but I made plenty of mistakes and probably still do as a parent. And I can't undo them. I can't go back. But I know that God can forgive me. And I know that he can use those things for his good. Especially in teaching me. And changing me. And so if we're open to that, if we're open saying, yes, God, change me, then he will. Change what we see and change what we seek. And we live in a world of sin. No matter that we're doing God's will, we will always be surrounded by the world around us that doesn't abide by what we're doing. Sometimes we may be rejected and we may be tempted to fight back or be harsh to those who are harsh to us. You know, it can be even in little things. You know, I was convicted once when I got a little bit upset with one of those callers. You know, those people who want to sell you something or want to do something, you know. And I was like, you know, boom, like this. And I thought, you know, I don't know that person. I don't know who that person is or anything, but maybe she or he is going to say, well, what kind of ratbag person is that? You know, or they get plenty of them. And so then I didn't come to the point of saying, yes, I'll listen to your spiel. I just politely said why I wouldn't listen to the spiel and then said, thank you, hope you have a good day, and then hung up. So I thought, okay, I can do that. So sometimes we may be tempted to be like that, but God says, don't. Be different. Be different. The scripture tells us to be wise in our dealings with those around us, with those who are non-Christians. And we learn this with Abraham and Abimelech. Remember that Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 14 and 15, do all things without grumbling or complaining, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Wow. And one of the things this world does so well is grumble and complain. Let us not be like that. Let us say, Lord, I don't want that. And later on in Philippians or in Ephesians, it talks about how we should talk. Look at the good things. Look, things that are honorable, things that are true, things that are glorious. The world has enough negative things to say. Let us not be like that. Abraham is teaching us to be different. But we also learn from Abraham that it takes effort. And it's God's initiative in our heart. If Abraham had not been open to God and not listened to him, he would have gone on like that. You and I can do that. We can close our heart and close our mind to the voice of the Holy Spirit. God never twists your arm. God always gives you free will. You can choose, like Joshua says. You can choose, like Moses said, who you will serve. And that's not just once all salvation. That's every moment of everything. Who am I going to choose today as I face a cantankerous customer? Who am I going to choose today as I drive to work? Who am I going to choose today as I look at my child who's just done a bad thing and how am I going to discipline them? Who am I going to choose that day? So what, as we close, what specific issues, think to yourself, what specific issues are you facing in your life today? Issues of faith, where you need to put your trust more fully to the Lord. Every one of us has one. Well, I have. We all do. What issue or issues can we place in the hands of God today? Think of that. And in what issues are you trying to do God's will yourself by your own strength? What mistakes have you made in the past that you are still carrying in your heart that could be blocking you from hearing God or allowing him to do his work in you? These are things we need to deal with personally with our God. If you don't want to deal with these, you will stay the same. If you do not want to deal with these, you will stay the same. It is your choice. If you open your heart and say, God, change me, and really mean it, he will. Can we pray that we will be enabled by the Holy Spirit to allow God control over our lives, for him to help us through the emotional and difficult times, holding on to him as he leads us through these minefields called life. Next week, we're going to come to one of the greatest tests ever talked about in Scripture. But for now, let us rejoice in the fact that God has delivered on his promise to Abraham. And because of that, we can be part of the family of God. Do you know that? Does that really sink in? Because Abraham was obedient, because God was faithful to his word, that we are now part of the family of God. It came from him. It came from a moment in history. So that his children would be like the sands and the stars. See? It's a long journey to go. A long journey from Abraham through all the pages of Scripture to Jesus, to the cross, to us. See how faithful he is. Let's pray. Father, we can't help but see how faithful you are. Your word constantly says over and over that you are faithful. Through the prophets, through the history, through the Psalms, throughout all the letters, through Revelation, In fact, at the end, you come riding on a white horse with written on your thigh, faithful and true. That's who you are. Lord, I pray that we would bow before you, that our hearts would bow before you, and that we would be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit within us. And we could stand before you and say, truly, we have been changed by God. And we rejoice in that. Father, I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.